Well, thank you very much and good evening to you all. Great to see the SBF Sunday evening crowd. And very enjoyable day with you, and we just enjoyed the fellowship as always, and really feel like we need to extend our visit or come back sooner. Not everybody may agree with that, but we just really don't have time to connect with everybody that we'd love to here. So it's very good to be here this evening. Thank you very much for the introduction and for the extra couple minutes. That's fantastic. Rarely get that, so I appreciate that. And I'd like to invite you to the book of Philippians, where we're going to be this evening. We've already been to Philippi, haven't we, today? We went to Philippi in the book of Acts, chapter 16, where the gospel arrived. The gospel arrived in the person of Paul and his missionary team and arrived in Philippi. And we saw three people who were saved there. And Lydia was one of them. And she opened up her home and started Bible studies there. And it became the nucleus. It became the beginning of the church at Philippi. And so we have the letter to the Philippians. So we're fast-forwarding in time to the letter to the Philippians. And our text this evening is in chapter 2. And I'm going to start at verse 5. We're going to be considering the chapter, but the core passage is verses 5 to 11. Okay? Philippians chapter 2. And beginning at verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There was a young boy in his backyard practicing with his baseball and his baseball bat, and he was really into it and zeroed in on practicing, and so he said to himself, I'm the greatest hitter in the world, and he threw the baseball up into the air, and whoosh, strike one, he missed, and so he picked up the ball and he said again, I'm the greatest hitter in the world. Threw the ball up, whoosh, strike two, missed again. So undeterred, he picked up the ball again and he looked at it and he looked at his bat and he adjusted his baseball cap and threw his ball up again a third time. Whoosh, strike three. I'm the greatest pitcher in the world, he says. Now that, my friend, is a winning attitude, isn't it? That's a winning attitude. And I want to talk to you tonight about attitude, okay? The word that we read here was mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But it could be translated attitude, mindset. And so I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about Philippians, and especially Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to be thinking about the mind of Christ, okay? Now, Philippians, we remember that Paul went to Philippi and he brought the gospel there. And now he's writing a letter to the Philippians, and it's really a thank you letter. It's a beautiful letter, and it's like so positive. It's one of his most personal, and there's hardly any negativity in it at all. Nothing really major to correct, no major doctrinal errors like Galatians and other places in the New Testament. And so it's a beautiful book, and he talks about the mind a lot in this book. And this idea of your mindset is throughout this book. And in chapter one, it's the single mind. He says, for me to live is Christ. And he says, you know, we need to practice this single mind. We should all have the same mind in the Lord. Be of one mind, he says, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And so in chapter one, it's the single mind. In chapter three, it's the spiritual mind as opposed to the carnal mind. And he contrasts that with the mindset of the world, which is taken up with things. I'm going to just try and give you a context of Philippians chapter 2, this passage, because it's so important. So in Philippians chapter 3, and you'll notice I skipped over chapter 2 because we're gonna get there. But in chapter 3, he talks about things. 9 times, I believe it is, he talks about things, not just physical things, but also things that people highly prize in this world, like prestige and, you know, all the things that he had. You know, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had a great education and so on. And he talks about the world that minds earthly things. But he said, my mind, he wants to know Christ, the supreme knowledge of Christ. So he talks about the spiritual mind. Then in chapter 4, you have the secure mind. And you'll notice that in every one of these chapters, Wiersbe points this out, that there is something that robs us of our joy. And that's another big theme, a mega theme of the book, right? The joy. And there's in chapter 4, it's worry that's tears people apart. But he says there, you know, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You find all the way through Philippians the mind, and it's so important, right? Listen, as your mind goes, so you go. And we know the heart is important too, and they're connected. And Paul is saying in chapter 4 that people, when they worry in their hearts, they worry in their minds, and they worry in their hearts, it tears them apart. To worry literally means to be strangled, to be torn apart. And so if we practice prayer, then we experience peace, which passes understanding, and it guards our mind. So that's the secure mind, okay? Chapter 2,